Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 294, top of the day to you, Steph.
Why? Thanks for having me.
Well, you're welcome. I was going to say another week has gone by.
This one went really, really fast.
It did, didn't it? It feels like we sat here maybe 4 days ago.
Yeah. Yep. I would completely pay that one.
We sat here a week ago.
1 week ago.
How well do you know your 80s and 90s sitcoms?
I'd say pretty well.
Okay, then you should be okay for the quiz, which is obviously later in the program. Watching suggestions this week will be good because we've got a few carryover champions because we watched them a couple of weeks ago, but then we wanted last week to just talk about the Barbie movie.
Mm-hmm.
So now not only will we be talking about some things that we potentially have watched a couple of weeks ago or maybe this week, but there'll also be a large amount that I will personally forget to talk about.
Why?
I just seem to, a couple of days after we record, I go, oh, why didn't I talk about?
You need a list.
I used to have a list.
I think twice.
I should get it out again.
Start. I have to have a list because otherwise I will re-recommend things that I've already recommended because I will have forgotten that I recommended it.
Yep. No, that's
be like, have you seen the Barbie movie, Leah?
Yeah, I was there with you.
Oh,
sat
well,
next to you.
Let me tell you about
no,
it.
No, don't. I don't want to know. and I've realized we've also got an actress in common with a couple of our watching suggestions, but completely different shows.
And I hadn't heard of either of them.
I hadn't heard of the one that you're going to talk about, and you wouldn't tell me about it. So now I have to wait for the watching suggestion to find out if I want to watch it or not.
Waste my time saying it twice.
That's fair enough. Totally.
Even though I would if you didn't have the list.
Yeah. I want to get into the
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
So this is the news. This is how, that's how all newsreaders start the news.
So for
this
today,
is the news.
Sit down because I'm about to start the news.
Here comes the news.
And it is
a
good.
Doozy. Well, we were talking about the Barbie movie and I thought, let's just check in with how it's going. It made headlines a couple of days ago that it has now made more than $1 billion, which is pretty good. And what I enjoyed was someone was kind of just talking about Greta Gerwig and how she has become the first solo female director with a film to gross more than $1 billion.
Like, it's just fab. It's not amazing. It's just fab.
Yeah, it's so fab. $1 billion.
I keep saying, move over, Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. Biggest opening for a movie in 2023. And it's also the biggest film of Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling's careers.
That's huge.
Yeah, because, I mean, he has been in, La La Land, you know, and that.
He's been in so much stuff.
Oh, I know, but that one was Oscar, you know.
True.
Oscar stuff.
Yeah. Incredible. Now that you said that, I just realized that I had a dream with Margot Robbie in it last night.
Oh, really?
You know when it was like
where she's your friend?
Yeah, I can't really remember. It's just more that deja vu feeling.
Okay.
And when you were talking about movies and I thought, oh, I'll tell you about this one she's been in. I was like, wasn't a movie.
It wasn't a movie. It was my dream.
It was my dream.
Let me tell you about my dream.
It was a box office smash.
The Little Mermaid. The live action Little Mermaid made its way to the cinema earlier this year.
Yes.
Wasn't that long ago, but it probably was quite a long time ago now that I think about it. You know, sometimes it's kind of hard to get a perspective. You're like, well, how long ago was that?
Yeah, how many months ago?
People may say it was only a month ago or it was January. You're like, okay.
I don't remember.
No concept of it. But if you weren't able to watch it at the cinema or maybe you've been waiting for it to land on Disney Plus, well, you don't have that much longer.
Mm.
Just under a month, actually.
Nice.
The 6th of September.
Nice.
It will be there. That's the one with Melissa McCarthy as Ursula.
Yes.
Which I think is going to be fun. I don't know how.
I think it's a bit dark in some moments.
Okay.
I think particularly Ursula is a little bit dark, maybe only for little people.
It probably is quite a dark story, though. When you think about those grim fairy tales, they are quite grim, and that's the reason why we use the word grim.
Yes.
Because they're good a little point. Bit grim.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's coming out on the 6th. So
I'm looking forward to it because I didn't see it in the cinema.
I didn't either.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And sometimes it's nice to watch the live action ones, and other times I'm like, nah, I don't want it.
Like which one are you talking about? Lion King?
Lion King was like CGI, but like realistic animated. No, yeah. I meant like Aladdin. I don't feel like I'm going to get anything out of watching Aladdin because I enjoyed the original Aladdin. Now, not to say that I didn't enjoy the original Little Mermaid, but this one does genuinely make me interested in watching it.
Mm. And in all honesty, when you watch the animated Little Mermaid, it has aged.
Like, yeah.
It has aged.
Late 80s?
Late.
Or maybe early 90s. Probably early 90s, actually.
I think it was 1989.
Okay.
Yeah. And look, you know, it's still a lovely
picture,
but it has aged in terms of the animation. So when you show it to little people now, they're like, nope, don't want it.
I want Moana.
I want Moana. But in my head, Aladdin still feels like it holds up. Is that because I liked it more?
Maybe. Because when you think about it, the animation style was very similar. It was they were both Disney animated, animation style, I mean. So, yeah, maybe it's just because you enjoyed it more.
Better songs.
Yeah. Well, it's because of the carpet ride, the magic carpet
ride. But then you got Under the Sea. See, that's a classic.
Yeah,
fun
that is
one.
A classic.
Okay, I take it all back. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Wow, that turned really quickly. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are heroes in a half shell, I think. What's a full shell?
Like a clam.
Oh, sure.
An oyster.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Seth Rogen is a producer on the newest version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, it's called. It's for Paramount. And he and the director, Jeff Rowe, were kind of talking about crunch, you know, and overworking animators. And I know that that's a big problem in video games. And Marvel apparently is pretty full on.
Yep.
And there were also stories that Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse their animators were really overworked as well during production.
Whoa.
So, the director of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, said, that was one thing that was really important to us on the film is to not overwork people. He was talking to Seth about what it's like doing films.
Yes.
And Seth was like, well, when you're doing live action, sometimes you're on set for 40 days in a row and it's exhausting and tiring and you just want to make sure that people have time away from that. This is Jeff talking, and that it doesn't become their entire lives. So it
becomes a chore where you kind of cut corners because you're a bit over it.
Yeah, and you make mistakes because you're really tired and exhausted, and maybe you burn out, and even though you're an amazing animator with a lot of creativity, you just don't want to do it anymore because it's not fun.
So then productivity becomes lesser.
Well, you may even leave the industry and do something else.
Burnout.
Yeah, exactly. And people have, you know, audiences have lost something that could have been amazing. The woulda, coulda, shoulda, I guess. Yeah, he went on to say people just do better work when they're rested and have home lives.
It makes perfect sense. It's work-life balance, isn't it?
Some people just can't do it, though. You know, some people are just so caught up in... It's also the stress
of the bottom dollar, and when you've got big corporations,
I know,
pushing you,
yeah,
that makes it tough.
It does make it tough. But if you are an animator on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Mayhem of Murder Mysteries, you'll be okay. You get to go home on time. It's nice. Did you ever see that Emily Blunt movie called Edge of Tomorrow? It had her and Tom Cruise. It was kind of like a time loop sort of movie set in the future.
I never saw that.
Yeah, I kind of didn't hear about it until years after it came out. And then I think I, you know, saw it on a streaming site and went, okay, I'll give that a go, see what it's like. And it was really good.
Nice.
You know when you stumble across something?
Yes.
And then you're like, why didn't I? That? Oh,
because that would have been a conundrum for me, because Emily Blunt, I'm a definite amazing. Yes. Tom Cruise, I'm a, I have to.
Yeah, yeah.
So to hear that that's good, I'm in.
It is good. And there's been lots of talk, mainly fan talk, about getting the old gang back together and making a sequel.
I'm so surprised that people want a sequel of something.
Something that they really enjoyed. Anyway, Emily Blunt has been asked again about it.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm so ready. She said, I'm not the impediment, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I wish that there could be one talking about the sequel. She said, there was one that Doug Liman slithered over to me and like, I would love to make it reality, but I just don't know when or how. How many Mission Impossibles does Tom Cruise need? I mean, come on, she said. So, yeah, it kind of sounds like, you know.
He's the problem.
He's the problem. He's also the biggest star. Mm. I mean, Emily Blunt is a household name, but Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise.
It's Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I would love to see another one. Actually, I wouldn't mind seeing the original again because it is quite convoluted, not in like a confusing way, just there's a lot to it.
But you watch it again, you'll get more out of it.
Yeah, and you go, oh, that's right, I'm enjoying this all over again. So maybe they will let me watch it and then they'll make another one.
They'll wait for you.
Fingers crossed. Hey, do you want to know something that I've noticed recently? Okay. Usually I like to have a look at what the casting news is, you know, who's been cast in what, because it means that we suddenly have an idea of what's coming out in the near future. You know, we'll get, you know, you'll hear, oh, there's a new Sandra Bullock movie. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, it's only, you know, they're only releasing the cast now, but it means that probably in a year we'll get a movie. But with the actor's strike and the writer's strike, there's none of that anymore.
Well, true. That, of course.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Have you heard about the new, I guess it's an offshoot from the writer's strike of the big suing that's happening with the Bravo NBC network being headed by Bethany Frankel for all the reality stars who have been mistreated throughout their time on reality television show. It's a huge lawsuit has just been launched.
That's interesting because back in the day when there was that, was it sort of early to mid 2000s, there was the writer's strike and it meant that shows like Sex and the City and 30 Rock and a whole heap of others suddenly had much shorter seasons. And then that was almost like the rise, like even though reality TV had already been around for a couple of years, but it was a rise of it because suddenly they needed to fill time slots on television. And that's what happened. And now I was like, oh, what are they going, what's reality TV going to do? Obviously, they're in their own trouble.
Yeah.
Interesting. Bethany Frankel, because she doesn't have enough money.
Well,
it's not obviously not about money.
It's not about money for her. I think she's very much about what is right. And the press that's come out is that Bravo and NBC are passing the buck as much as they can.
Oh, to each other.
To each other and blaming it on production, in inverted commas. Sure. So watch this space.
Yeah. Instead of casting news, it's suing news. Oh, my word. We've got a 1980s/90s sitcom quiz coming up for us a little bit later on, but I think it's time to get into some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What have you been watching?
I watched an incredible series called The Cry. Now, it's not a new show.
Okay.
But I'm very happy that we decided to not do watching suggestions last week because I'd only watched one episode. And in the week, I've watched them all. I finished it. I finished it all. I loved it. Now, if you like Harlan Coben, any of those fantastic mystery shows, particularly Australian murder mysteries, you know, that new theme, you would love this. And I can't recommend it enough. It's called The Cry. And as I said, it's not a new show. If I can back up my claim of how fantastic it is, it has had 17 nominations Ooh. And 2 wins. I'm talking big things like the Australian Academy of Cinema and Television Awards, so the Actor Awards, BAFTA Awards, Emmy Really? Awards, Logie Awards. Like, it just keeps going, going, going. It is a wonderful show. It's about a young couple who live in Scotland, and they are travelling to Australia because the man in the couple, his, I guess, estranged daughter is living overseas, so his ex-wife left him, took the daughter to come back, live in Australia. Mm-hmm. So they flew back to Australia, and like their first or second night back in Australia, their infant son goes missing.
So were they out in the outback?
They were in a small town. It wasn't a dingo, but an incredible story with great twists and turns that it leaves these little breadcrumbs. So it keeps going back, showing you just little snippets of the past or their trip over, just giving you these little breadcrumbs that you don't think much of, but they're produced in a way that you actually do remember them. It's not something that you forget, and it's that horrible mystery of somebody knows what happened to this 3-month-old
somebody
baby.
Somebody in here is lying.
Someone
One
here
of
is
you
lying.
Is a liar, therefore I hate all of you right now.
Yeah.
As an audience member, you like that? Or do you?
As an audience member, you've really taken along for the ride mm-hmm. as to, like, who do you trust? Who do you listen yeah. to? Who do you believe? And so you flip-flop precisely in the way that it's written to make you flip-flop.
Yeah, of course.
But you really do question the main characters. And Jenna Coleman is the main character. She plays Joanna, and she's the mother of the infant okay. son.
And she's Scottish?
She's Scottish. The most incredible performance from her.
Yeah,
absolutely
right.
Absolutely amazing. And just moments where, you know, having had little kids myself, even just the look in her eye, I think, oh, God, I get it. Like, so exhausted and without help and just don't know what to do. She nails it. Mm. She was incredible. Her co-stars include Ewan Leslie, who does a fantastic performance. She's Jenna's husband. Asha Keddie's in there. Alex Dimitriadis is in there. Mm. Sophie Kennedy Clark. Like, the list goes on. It was an absolutely fantastic, fantastic show. And Leah, there was one person.
Sherina Clanton. She was in the first couple of seasons of Wentworth.
Yes. And Stella Gonnet or Gonet is in there. And it took me a couple of moments, Leah, to recognize where she was from. And she's House of Elliot, which you would know immediately from French and Saunders.
Oh, wow.
Like, I
yeah.
was like,
that's
what
right.
have I seen her in? What have I seen her in? I'm
House
like,
House of
no.
Idiot. Yeah. Yeah, she go. Yeah, she catches them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, cool.
So
that's hilarious.
I watched it on Stan.
Mm-hmm.
Please do yourself a favor and go and watch this one.
Okay.
It's fabulous.
It's from 2018, right?
2018, sorry.
And you said Asha Keddie's in that.
Asha Keddie's in it. That was a fabulous surprise because Asha Keddie is, I think she's underrated for how phenomenal she is. Is she underrated?
I don't think so.
I mean, I know in Australian television she's pretty much the queen.
We know.
But she's like a Cate Blanchett in my eyes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, she's Cate Blanchett. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, she needs to be going over it and doing more because she's phenomenal.
Well, she's definitely dropped herself into a series that has got international audiences, care of Prime, Amazon Prime, The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart, based on the book The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart. It stars Sigourney Weaver, Leah Purcell, Asha Keddie, and a whole heap of other people as well. Wonderful performances. Sigourney Weaver, at first I was like, oh, she's being American. No, she's being an American who's been in Australia for a while. Is she being an Australian? No, I think she's being an American who's been in Australia for a while, because there are some pretty obvious words that are American that they could have told her not to
say,
pronounce it that way.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But then there was other words that were really sort of, oh, she has gone out of her way not to pronounce it like an American. Mm. So what happens is there's only, as of this recording, I've only been able to see 3 episodes.
Okay.
They're only releasing, I think there's going to be 7 in total. So a young girl, Alice, she is the only child at the beginning of the series of this couple who live on a farm. The father is quite abusive to both of them. The mother is pregnant. Alice is being bashed up by him as well.
Oh, gosh.
She goes to the library, gets a library card. The wonderful librarian played by Asha Keddy is there, and she kind of goes, oh, I know what's happening.
Yeah.
And the police come and, you know, have a little chat and then walk away, and then he takes it out on her. And then she retaliates in a way that a kid retaliates and then goes, oh, my God, what have I done? This is out of control. I can't do anything else about this.
Yeah.
It's gone too far. And her grandmother, who she has never really met, is played by Sigourney Weaver, June Hart, and her partner Twig, Leah Purcell, take her in, and they have a flower farm.
Oh.
And there's this amazing story where you start to see these twists and bits where you're like, hang on a second. So this flower farm is also something else. I won't say what it is because it's nice to enjoy that ride as an audience member. Why did that person blatantly lie about that? Did I get it wrong? As an audience member, did I get it wrong? No, you lied about it. You said something was not what it was.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, hang on, why is that relationship so close when it doesn't seem so? Oh, there's a whole backstory to that that you haven't told anybody else. 3 episodes in, I'm absolutely hooked. The performances are sensational. The main actress, well, I mean, they're all main. No, they're not all main. No, I'm going to say Alice Hart is played by a young actress called Alaya Brown, and she is absolutely amazing. The character will also be played by Elisa Denham Carey, who is in Fear the Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. She's an Aussie actress.
Yep.
I know that because her face is on the poster, but also she's got a lot of fans from the Walking Dead community, and they are posting it like there's no tomorrow.
Nice.
So it looks like we're going to get a flash forward and potentially see where the older Alice is and how she is doing within the community.
Ooh.
After all the things that she's been through, I should say. Lost Flowers of Alice Hart, that is on Amazon Prime. What else have you been watching? Can I just quickly talk about one other thing that I watched?
Yeah, please.
This one was oh my gosh, that's got that person in it. I'm going to watch it. And then towards the end, I was like, that's not that good.
Not finishing it.
Ellie Kemper, who was Kimmy Schmidt in The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. She was also in The Office, The American Office, and Bridesmaids, that movie. She plays Helen, who is a divorcee. She's gotten divorced and she decides to sign herself up for a camping/hiking trip with other people who have never done.
Other middle-aged women who have.
No, it's a mixture of people. Okay. It's a mixture of people. And the movie's called Happiness for Beginners. At the beginning, it's a little bit like a comedy. It turns into a romantic comedy pretty early on. You can see the signs of that. Along for the ride, it's a bit of fun. I did see an article that said that they didn't use her enough because she's so funny.
Yeah.
She's not funny enough. She's a bit grumpy and whatnot, and that's fair enough. They've got a story that they're going to tell.
But you can make grumpy funny.
You can
make. If you're trying to be a comedy.
Well, Nico Santos is in it, who, of course, was in Superstore.
Yes.
Which we, you know.
Love.
He was so funny as Mateo. He's not as funny in this either. It's a comedy. It's a nice relaxing. It's a nice relaxing movie. You definitely enjoy it, you know, just snuggling up on the lounge if you're just having a nice, easy evening.
Yeah.
But it's not going to do anything amazing. I'm just looking at the IMDb rating. It's only got 6.1 out of 10.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. If you want to watch it, I am not going to stop you, but just don't think that Ellie is going to be Kimmy Schmidt. She's not going to be like she is in...
There's no physical comedy or...
Very minimal.
Yeah, okay.
Very minimal. But it's a nice story. Do you want to get into this amazing quiz?
Yeah, I do.
So this quiz is an easy one. I haven't even prepped for it because it's so easy.
Okay. Easy for you, she says.
Easy for me. I am going to give you 5 seconds each round. And each round is a question about a sitcom.
Okay.
I did say 80s and 90s, but now that I remember, there's actually a couple from before that.
Oh,
are you?
Well, no. What kind of questions? Why have I only got 5 seconds? I've got the questions. Lots of questions. Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
Okay. In 5 seconds, please name. Oh, that was loud. In 5 seconds, please name a TV show, a sitcom with a sliding door between the kitchen and the lounge room.
Sliding door between the kitchen and the playroom. The Brady Bunch.
I meant sliding. I meant like, you know, like the saloon doors, you know?
They're not sliding. They're not swinging.
Swinging doors. Okay.
One or two?
It doesn't matter.
Full House.
Okay. So you managed to answer two then. Would you like in under 5 seconds?
I understand the rules of this quiz.
Doing it. It's not as complicated as you think it is. I think you're like overcomplicating it.
It's almost like Ross's game from Friends. No. It's like, and now you have to peel oranges. Okay. Why?
5 seconds. You have to give me three. Go.
Three kitchens with the sliding doors. Full House. The Brady Bunch. And, Family Matters.
7.9 because you decided to talk about it. Okay. Can you please give me two sitcoms that had a dog? Go.
The Brady Bunch again. And Full House again.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
I've literally gone blank on sitcoms. They're the only ones I can think of.
Okay. Do you want me to be more specific then?
No, this is funny, okay. But I'm going to answer Full House and Brady Bunch for
Full
everything.
Full House and Brady Bunch is now banned from the next one.
Tough. You said the rules weren't that complicated. You just upped it.
Please name two older brothers in a sitcom, like a brother from each sitcom. Go.
Greg.
You can't do Brady Bunch.
Full House only had girls. The older annoying brother from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Carlton. Okay.
Carlton and sitcoms older brother.
What'll we do, baby?
And with Growing Pains had Kirk Cameron.
Okay. All right. Okay, I really thought you were going to give this one. Please tell me what this theme song is from. What'll we do, baby, without love? And there ain't no nothing we can love each other through. What'll we do, baby, without love? Sha-na-na-na. Who's the oldest brother in that?
Michael J. Fox.
Yes.
What's his name?
Alex P.
Alex.
Yep.
When I said I have gone blank on sitcoms, I've gone blank on sitcoms.
What was the colour car?
Boof.
We're going back to the Brady Bunch. Of Mike.
Was it?
Brady's car.
Was it pale blue?
It was a blue colour. Do you remember it was a convertible?
Yeah, I do.
And do you know
Marsha was staying next to it when she got her nose broken?
Oh, my nails. Do you know the reason why I think? I mean, it wasn't blue. To make him look cool. No, that was convertible. Was so that was easier to film it.
Oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that's what I... Well, that's my guess at least. Okay, you have to immediately, without thinking, tell me the name of the show where this comes from. Did I do that?
That's Urkel, Family Matters.
What was his first name?
Steve.
Yeah, Steve. Final one. What was Tony Danza's job in Who's the Boss?
He was a housekeeper,
yes,
wasn't he?
Yes, well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well done. It's funny, you do get sitcom stuck in your head because I kept thinking like I could have answered Family Ties for a lot of those.
Yes, you could. Did they have
they
a dog?
They didn't have a dog though. No. They didn't have one. But yeah, Family, no, Full House did.
Well, then Brady my brain Bunch went did. To later sitcoms like Will and Grace.
Yeah, they didn't,
and I was
did
like,
they?
Well, that's not part of the category.
I don't think Growing Pains did. Who's the Boss didn't have a dog.
No.
Look, I think we all learnt a little bit in that. Probably not a lot, but a little bit in
not
that.
A lot.
But finally.
Alf. They had a dog and they had swinging doors into the kitchen.
They had a cat as well.
They had a cat. And they had a sliding thing that Alf was hiding behind in the kitchen.
All.
They had it all.
Had it all. Well, I lost it all when the show finished, obviously.
Well, couldn't go for much longer.
I like sitcoms.
Alien.
I really do. Yeah, true. I really do like those sitcoms. Mm. You know, even when they weren't that good, it was still pretty good.
It was a good way to sort of unwind. Mm. You know, a bit of joy. A lesson at the end.
Always had a lesson. Even in Roseanne, there was a bit of a lesson.
It was a lesson.
You know, like Becky, you can't do that.
No.
What was his name? DJ. You can't set a light.
Can't be weird.
Yeah.
Just don't be weird.
They did lean into the weird, and I think it worked well because he grew out of that cute phase, right?
Yes.
And then he became the weird kid, and it kind of made him the interesting, like it made that character interesting where he could have just been the cute kid that isn't cute anymore.
Isn't cute anymore, and what do you do with them?
Yeah, because you already had
the
Darlene.
Son out.
No. They did recast him after the pilot, though. Do you remember?
Yes.
It was a totally different boy.
Well, I mean, they also recasted Becky.
Yeah,
and
they
then
did.
Recasted her back again.
Back again. Yeah.
And then they redid the whole show without the main character.
Yeah, but they had both Beckys.
Yeah.
The second Becky was a different.
Roseanne was a good show.
I know.
Back in the day.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
But
it
was... Darlene, so Sarah Gilbert and John Goodman. And Jackie.
Yeah. Without those three actors.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been as good. They were just phenomenal. Whose mother did Jackie go on to be in another sitcom? Mm.
Oh, give me a clue. I can see it, but I can't.
Nerd.
Stop talking about yourself.
Nerd.
Sheldon.
Yeah, Sheldon.
Yeah, sorry.
From Big Bang, not Sheldon. Well, I don't know. She could be the mother in Sheldon. No. Is she? I don't know. I haven't watched it. Have you ever seen it?
I haven't watched it, but she would be the mother, wouldn't she? Does she have to be younger?
I don't know. She's just a younger person.
Mm.
Maybe they got second Becky to play her as well.
God, I should have just said to me, just scroll a list of sitcoms, just names. Don't do research. Just scroll, just to have a little few extras in my head.
You don't need it.
Well, you keep mentioning the different ones. I'm like,
okay. Well, you mentioned one. You mentioned one. Go on.
The Brady Bunch. Brady Bunch. Full House. How I Met Your Mother.
You know, I never watched the end, but I know how it ended. So I know the mother and how, and the like the Robin and Barney.
Yellow
and
umbrella. I watched the end. I can't remember what happened. Something about a train station in the rain.
And she, like the mother.
I think she appeared in the last season, didn't she?
Yeah,
she did. Yeah.
The mother, she has been in heaps of stuff.
Heaps of stuff.
Heaps of stuff. She's good. I get her a bit confused with the other actress who was in Glow. Do you remember Glow about the female wrestlers? Yeah. I get her confused with that one.
Yeah.
They kind of look similar.
I quite liked about How I Met Your Mother that the stuff with the kids was all filmed in the first year because they obviously would grow up. But that's how far ahead they had written the story. I really appreciate that it's not just let's see how we go each season and then write. It's like, no, we have the timeline. We know what's going to happen.
Yeah, long thinking. Do you think that's how they managed to get the show for as many seasons as they did? No, we've got the end. We know what's happening in the end. Yeah.
I reckon they fleshed out a few seasons in there.
Oh, a bit of filler?
Yeah. Yeah. Less of the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Look, just finally, I think it's important to note that in Growing Pains, the final episode, they moved out of that house.
What?
Yep, in the season finale, they moved out of that house.
Oh, that was the end.
Yeah, and that was the end. And then a brand new sitcom started straight after it called Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
That's right.
And that episode is them moving in to that house.
I like that. Gosh, I like that.
It was really clever.
And that company is like, we don't need to build a new set, saving money. Look at us go.
So they're part of the same universe and they save money.
I love it.
So good. Amazing. The lady that invented Barbie.
Yeah.
What's her name again?
Judy
Garland. Mattel. Anyway, she's played by Rhea.
Mm-hmm.
Perlman.
Rita Perlman.
Rita Perlman. What sitcom was she in?
Cheers.
Congratulations. And on that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
Cheers.